Okay? Hearing voices, that was what we were talking about. Yes, hearing voices. So it's not a matter of whether or not a person hears voices, but what are the voices saying? I asked a guy to listen to a tape on the occult once, and then because I knew he had some problems. And he listened to the tape, and it was very quiet in the coffee shop that evening, and I was sitting out in the other room waiting for him to come out. And finally he came out, and I said, well, did you understand it? And he said, well, it was really difficult to hear, after all. And I said, well, there was nothing wrong with the tape, was there? And he said, oh, no, it was the people standing outside in the back of the coffee shop screaming the whole time. And I said, there weren't any people standing out in the back of the coffee shop screaming. And he said, well, I heard people screaming. And I said, uh-huh. Okay. That was an all-nighter, that one was. I put my hands on him to pray for him, and out of my mouth blurted, you unclean spirit of deception. And his head went like that. And I went, oh, yes, you are. That was the beginning of a whole night. Okay. Hearing voices. People can hear voices because they've got occult bondage. Automatic handwriting. And this, oddly enough, is something that people get involved in. They don't know what they're getting involved in. Marcia just showed me a paper that she bought today, just for me. a paper that has 7 steps in how to get involved in automatic handwriting. And that is when a demon takes control of your hand and writes messages through your hand. And I have found Christians doing this. I found 2 Christians who were doing this, a husband and wife. The woman mostly was the one who did it. And they thought that these were messages from God, see, because that's what it said they were. Right? God who? Is the question. And they had the symptoms, though, in their life. They said they couldn't sleep without their light on at night. I said, why not? Are you afraid of something? Well, yeah, we're in fear. I said, when did that start? It started after she started doing the handwriting. Mm-hmm. How about that? So anything else funny happening? Oh, yeah, our kids wake up screaming sometime in the middle of the night. And I said, why? Oh, they say that there was somebody in the room. I said, do you keep the papers that you write on in their room? She said, yes, in the cupboard in their closet. Mm-hmm. So they went home that night. They prayed, renounced everything, went home that night and burnt the pen and burnt the papers and everything. And went to sleep that night, quick, turned off the light. Didn't have to be afraid anymore. Okay, so automatic handwriting, where a demon takes control of your hand and writes through your hand, is a symptom of occult bondage or involvement in the occult. And J, a lack of feeling forgiven. Now, a lack of feeling forgiven can come because you have a bad father image, and when you ask God to forgive you, you don't feel forgiven because you had trouble with your father. He never forgave you, so you never felt forgiven. That can come from something like that. A lack of feeling forgiven can come from the fact that you haven't repented, so you're not forgiven. It could come from that, too. See, that's a moral thing. But a lack of feeling forgiven can sometimes happen to a person who's been involved in the occult. I'll give you an example. I prayed with a guy one time who became a Christian, and then he said, I know that it's true that I'm supposed to be forgiven, but it doesn't register anything inside of me. I forget exactly how he put it, but he said, nothing really clicked inside of me when I prayed and asked God to forgive me. And I went through all kinds of things trying to figure out what was wrong with this guy. And we went through the scripture again and stuff. And then while we were sitting there talking, another brother came in who was in YWAM. And he walked in and sat down, and I explained the situation to this brother. And he went, ah. He asked the guy, he said, have you ever been involved in the occult? And the guy said, yeah. He said, I was a witch for 3 years. Oh, just, you know, totally overlooked that particular point. And so he said, you know, I think you need to renounce your witchcraft and anything else where you've been involved in the occult. And the guy said, oh, okay. So he started renouncing all these things involved in witchcraft, involved in the occult, and eventually just went, ah. And something started to happen inside of him. And we were finished praying. When he was finished praying, he said, now I know. He said, now I can sense that I'm forgiven. He says, something has happened inside of me. I can sense I've made contact with God. And that was because that blockage coming from the occult was taken away. Okay, now, last thing we'll talk about is how to get out of the occult, or how to get out of occult bondage. Steps out of occult bondage. A, Commit your life to Jesus as Lord. Jesus has to be Lord of your life if you want to be free. That means he tells you what to do. You don't tell him what to do, to put it very simply. Wouldn't it be silly if a slave came to his master's door and said, well, today I plan on doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to go out shopping this afternoon. I'm going to be doing this and this and this and this and this. See? And the master goes, nice. Bye. Sort of silly, isn't it? The slave comes and he says, what would you like me to do today? And the master says, I would like to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And the slave says, yes, I'll do that. Okay. So you commit your life to Jesus as Lord. B, make a list of where you've been involved in the occult. And first, you should pray. Or if you're counseling someone else, you pray for them and ask God to help them remember where they were involved in the occult. See, because one of the things, one of the symptoms of occult bondage is that you can't remember where you were involved. Isn't that interesting? You can't remember where you were really involved. So it needs to be prayer. I asked a guy one time if he'd ever been involved in the occult. No, not that I remember. Because he had some symptoms, see? And he said, not that I remember. And he thought and thought, no. I said, let me pray for you. Laid my hands on his head and prayed for him. And then I said, now, anything come to your mind? And he went, I remember a girl doing my horoscope one time. See? He started remembering things he couldn't remember because he was in occult bondage. And he ended up with a whole list on a notebook paper, you know, line after line, places where he was involved in the occult. But he couldn't even remember one before we prayed for him. So if you feel you need to pray about that, then pray. Ask God to show you where you've been involved in the occult. When I prayed that, I remembered something that I'd forgotten for 12 years. Never had a thought about for 12 years. And it went. One little incident. It went. In my head. Almost didn't. In my head. Okay? After 12 years. And it was just one little incident where I opened up a book and saw something. And God said, contact with the occult. Okay? So make a list of all the places where you're involved in the occult. Be very specific in making your list. Don't generalize. Every incident, you may have had three or four, you may have three or four incidents come to your mind where you were involved with astrology, but write every one of them down as they come to your mind. Rather than saying astrology, put, I had my horoscope done here, I read it there, I got this book. Write the individual things down. C, renounce each thing individually. Renounce each thing individually. You know what that is, John? Renounce? No? Okay. Renounce each thing individually. Don't lump them together. D, is there anybody else here that doesn't know what the word renounce means? Okay, you know what it means. Okay. Okay, it means to speak against or to, in a sense, to make an oath against or swear against. To speak against it. To say something like, I recognize that this is from the devil. I will not have anything to do with it anymore. I cut myself off from it. Okay? Call it what it is, so to speak. D, pray for healing. Pray for healing in any areas where you may have been damaged because of involvement in the occult. I remember when I was taking care of my occult bondage, that as I got down to the last thing, and when I got down to the last thing, I felt this pressure on the side of my head. And I sat there and I remember going, God, what's that? I didn't know what this was. And God said, that is because you came in contact with the occult here. It pointed out a thing to me. And I went, oh. So I renounced that, and I felt that thing lift off of me. And then I felt a whole cloud lift off of me, and I went, oh, hi, God. You know, I didn't realize there was this cloud hanging over me from occult bondage until I renounced it. And then I found out that there was a whole new realm of prayer and the presence of God and these kinds of things. I didn't realize I was walking around under a cloud. I had my own personal cloud with me. Following me around. Okay. E, destroy any remnants of your involvement in the occult. Destroy any remnants, anything that's left behind, like a pen or a book or remnants, things that are left behind. A pen, a book, jewelry, clothing, anything that was involved, no matter what it was. But especially things like astrological symbols, that kind of stuff. Get rid of it. Acts 19, verses 18 and 19. Acts 19, verses 18 and 19. You know, some people will say to me, they've said to me at times, look, the Christian is free. And the Christian does not have to be involved in any of that kind of stuff, trying to speak against occult bondage or anything. Once you become a Christian, whack, you're free. The old life is gone. You never have to deal with that kind of thing again. Oh, yeah? Many also of those who had believed, past tense, kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Acts 19, verses 18 through 20. Okay? Many also of those who had believed, past tense, they were already Christians, they kept coming, disclosing their practices. Let me turn you on to another verse here. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, which is very familiar to you, if you will openly admit with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes and thus becomes righteous. And with the mouth confession is made and so he is saved. Now that's the same word, though, that's used for healed. See? And it says here, what does it say the people were doing? They had believed, and they kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. Now, why is it important to renounce these things? Because the power of the occult is in mystery or secret knowledge. That's why you need to speak it out with your mouth. You need to make it public, see? And they kept coming, confessing, speaking out what they'd done, and disclosing their practices. They spoke out openly what they'd done. See? They were confessing in the sense of saying that it was wrong for them to do that. Now, with the heart, man believes and so becomes right with God. With the mouth, confession is made and so he is saved or healed. Can be read either way. Right? And so sometimes what will happen is after you've already become righteous with God because you've believed, God will ask you to confess something, not because you need to repent, because you've already done it, not because you need to be forgiven, but because you need to be healed. You got that? Sometimes God will ask you to confess something after you're already forgiven for it, not because you need to be forgiven, not because you need to repent, not because you need to believe, but because you need to be healed. See, let's say a guy has a habit of stealing, and he becomes a Christian. Well, sometime during his Christian life, God may speak to him when he's praying and say, do you remember when you were a little kid and you stole that thing out of the store? I'd like you to confess that. And the guy goes, I rebuke you, devil. That's out of my past, and my past is gone. I've been forgiven. And the thought comes back to him. See? No matter how much he rebukes the devil, it won't go away. Why? Because it's God that's saying that. Okay? And finally he realizes, well, that's God doing that. And God says, yes, would you please confess that? I want you to confess it because at that point you committed your heart to something and it started to bring about damage in your spirit and it developed a habit pattern in your life. What I want to do now is I want to heal you of that. I want to rip the roots of that habit out of your life, so I want you to confess it. And so he confesses with his mouth and so he is healed. See, confession doesn't mean necessarily, the word confess does not mean necessarily that it's sin that you're confessing. You know, there are lots of verses that talk about confessing Jesus before men and so forth. It's not sin that you're confessing. The word confess means to say the same word as someone else in Greek. Homologia means to say, homo means the same, logia comes from logos, to say the same word as someone else. And so what you're doing is agreeing with God. And God comes to you and says, would you please confess that this theft that you committed in the past was evil? And you go, yes, God, I agree with you. The thing that I did was evil. So you're not repenting. It's not a matter of being forgiven. But you're agreeing with God that it was evil. And you speak it out. Why? So God can heal you. He heals that thing in your spirit. Okay? That'll happen a lot of times when people, especially like guys, will start to put a lot of the Word of God into their lives. They meditate, they memorize the Word of God, they begin praying a lot, and all of a sudden, obscene things start coming into their mind. And guys have come to me and they go, what is happening to my head? You know, I put all this stuff in and suddenly everything becomes obscene in my head. You know, even while I'm reading the Bible or while I'm praying. So you know what's happening? You're putting stuff in and it's flushing things out of your spirit. And what you need to do, those things that have been buried in your spirit God wants to heal you of, speak them out and confess them. That's the way you get rid of it. See? That's the way it'll be healed in your spirit. So you say to God, God, I remember when I did that, and I recognize it was against you. It was an evil thing that I did. See? It was an evil thing that I saw. Would you please heal me in my spirit? And you confess those things out, say, you're being healed. But lots of guys get frantic when they start putting a lot of the Word of God in, and suddenly the stuff starts coming out. See, what's happening is you're just flushing it out. So you need to get rid of it, and the way you do it is by confessing and being healed. Okay, so what point were we on? E, destroy any remnants. If you have anything that's left over from your involvement in the occult, get rid of it. Burn it. I love those parties. I love to have, I was involved in three of them in 1 week one time, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I was so happy. I got to stomp on things. Other people got to stomp on things and tear them up, and we were having a great time. Ripped up a book of Urantia and stomped on tapes and burnt things. And oh, it was wonderful. Okay, and the last thing is F, or 6, follow Christian discipline. Follow Christian discipline. Submit yourself to the normal Christian disciplines. Reading the Word, praying, fasting, meditating, having fellowship, witnessing. Submit yourself. Obedience to God's voice. Follow the normal Christian disciplines. That's the way to stay free.